It's tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from the golden age of radio. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levenier. Coming up in this hour, sitcoms. Later on, you'll hear Life with Luigi with J. Carroll Nash, but right now it's Harold Perry portraying the great Gildersleeve, an episode from NBC heard on November 25th, 1945, called The Big Football Game.
The Kraft Foods Company presents The Great Gildersleeve. Thanksgiving weekend. Each year at this season, the good citizens of Summerfield make a pilgrimage of some 30 miles to witness the annual football classic between State University and the Aggies. And in the whole of Summerfield, there is no one more determined to go this year than Gildersleeve's nephew, Leroy. For weeks, he has been hammering away at it.
Hey, Uncle, if I do the dishes tonight, can I go home? Can I? How about it? Can I?
No.
No, Marjorie.
Nobody asked you.
Uncle Mort, if he goes to that game, I shall just die.
Oh, why?
Because Marshall's coming home for the weekend, and he's taking me. And all Leroy wants to do is spy on us.
Boy, that's a cheap thrill. You think I'd be looking at you when I can be watching a football game?
Uncle Mort, don't let him go. You can't. You simply can't.
Now, my dear, I think that's for me to decide.
That's telling her.
I don't see why Leroy hasn't just as good a right to go to the game as you.
You hear that?
After all, I think you might consider his side of it, too.
Yeah, how about considering my side of it?
You stay out of this.
But, Uncle Mort, this is my only weekend with Marshall since he went away to school. We want to be alone.
Alone? They go to a football game to be alone.
Now, Leroy.
I suppose you'd like everybody else in the stadium to get up and leave. 20,000 people.
Leroy.
I rest my case.
Well, what about it, Uncle Mort?
I shall think it over.
Oh, say yes, please. I'll pay you if you will. I'll give you all the money I've got in my bank.
I'm not subject to bribery, my boy.
Well, I'll do anything you say, anything at all. How about it?
I told you I shall think it over.
Well, for cat's sake, how long do you have to think?
There are two sides to this question, my boy, as there are to most questions. Now, from Marjorie's point of view, I can see why she wouldn't want to have you tagging along.
Thank goodness.
From your point of view, Leroy, I can see that this game means a great deal to you.
More than anything in the world, I guess. Except you, Unc.
Yes, yes. Well, the only thing I can see to do about it...
Yeah?
I hate to say this, but the only thing I can see to do about it is to take you myself.
You mean you?
Yes, my boy. Much as I dread it, I'll take you to the football game.
Yikes! You hear that, Marge? Hail to the victors, valiant! Hail to the conquering heroes!
Gildersleeve.
Oh, good evening, Bertie.
Is that you, Unc?
Yes, it's me.
Hey, did you get them? Did you get the football tickets? I was a good boy today, Unc. I cleaned up a whole room, even my closet. Did you get good seats? Where are we sitting? Unc, you didn't forget them.
No, Leroy, I didn't forget them, but I'm afraid I have bad news for you just the same. They're completely sold out.
Oh, that's a big jip.
I know, my boy. I know exactly how you feel, but we have to learn to take these little disappointments and make the best of them, don't we?
Gosh, if you didn't have to think it over so long, if you'd gone and got on the ball...
I did the best I could. After all, I'm just as disappointed as you are. It means that I can't go to the game either.
Ha! You didn't want to go in the first place.
That's not true, Leroy. I wanted to go very much.
Yeah.
But there's no use crying over spilt milk, is there? There'll be other games. Some other time, perhaps, eh? Leroy... I want you to believe that I tried, my boy. Why, I even asked Judge Hooker to use his influence. Not that I'd give 2 cents for all the influence he's got.
I should have known. I should have known I'd never get there. This is just a terrible day, that's all. It's been a terrible day right from the start. Friday's always a terrible day.
Leroy, honey, what's the matter?
Nothing.
Oh, now, don't.
Let's not give up hope, my boy. After all, there's still Judge Hooker.
Yeah.
Well, you're probably right.
Every time you say you'll take me to a football game, this is what happens.
Leroy, this is the first time I've ever offered to take you to a football game.
Well, it happened, didn't it? I should have known.
Now, Leroy, you're just tired. Why don't you go up and get ready for bed and let Bertie bring your supper to you up there?
I don't want any supper.
Well, later maybe you will. You run along and I'll be up. I got turkey croquettes for supper.
And mashed potatoes?
Mashed potatoes and gravy.
Okay.
Doorbell, I'll get it.
No, I'll get it, Bertie. Booker, come in, Judge.
I can't stop, Gildy. I just came by.
Leela, I didn't see you standing back there. Come on in. It's cold.
Well, just for a minute.
We're on our way to dinner. I'm taking Leela to a movie afterward.
Oh, so that's why she was busy tonight. You didn't tell me you were going out tonight with the judge, Leela.
I don't tell everything I know.
I sort of cut you out there, didn't I, Gildy?
Old goat.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Careful, my dear, careful. Come in.
Hello, Marjorie. Hello, Mrs. Ransom. I hope I didn't hurt you. Oh, good evening, Judge.
Marjorie.
Oh, don't you look pretty.
Thank you.
Such pink cheeks.
And natural, too. I'll bet you're excited that Marshall Bullard's home.
Oh, he's been home for 2 days. Unky, is it all right if we go skating after supper?
After supper?
It's perfectly safe. There's a big moon out.
I don't know that that makes it safe.
Skating in the moonlight. How I'd love to be out there with y'all.
Well, why don't we? We could all make
Wait a minute now. Leela and I have a date.
Oh, yes, that. Well, how about tomorrow, then?
But tomorrow's Saturday, Uncle Mort. Marshall and I are going to the game.
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell him it's all right about going skating tonight, then.
Well, now, wait a minute. I did... Well, all right.
Thanks, Uncle. You're a dear.
Yes, yes.
Oh, to be 16 again instead of pushing 30. Football games, skating in the moonlight. I used to love football games. We used to drive up to Atlanta when Georgia played, Georgia Tech. It was such fun. The girls looked all so pretty and the men were all so handsome.
Yeah.
There'd be parties at all the fraternity houses after the game, and the dance at the big hotel there in the evening, and driving back by moonlight.
Come on, Leela. I think it's time we were getting along.
Oh, yes, I suppose it is.
Oh, that reminds me, Gildy. I almost forgot what I stopped here for. I got you that pair of football tickets you asked for.
You got them?
Just leave it to old Judge Hooker. There they are.
Well, that's fine. Are they any good?
Are they any good? Why, they're right smack on the goal line.
I don't know whether to thank you or not. But thanks, anyway.
Oh, Throckmorton, don't tell me you got tickets for tomorrow's game.
Huh?
And never even told me about it. Aren't you wonderful?
I might point out it was I who got the tickets.
Oh, but it's the thought that counts.
Yes, but Leela, you...
Oh, I think surprises are such fun, don't you? Now, here I wasn't looking forward to a thing tomorrow except washing my hair. And now, all of a sudden, everything's wonderful.
But Leela,
imagine me carrying on about how I love football games and all the time you knew. Throckmorton, you devil, you.
Leela, you don't understand.
Don't understand what?
Well, I wasn't exactly planning to, I mean...
You mean you were planning to take some other girl?
No, no, of course not. Gosh, I'd rather take you than anybody. I would have asked you too, Leela, only I didn't think of it till yesterday, and I suppose by this time you'd... Well, the last time I saw you, you bawled me out for always inviting you places at the last minute.
Throckmorton, honey, it's time you learn never to pay a single bit of attention to anything I say, ever.
Leela, I don't like to hurry you, but it's time that we were getting downtown.
Oh, yes, we must be going.
Yeah, but wait.
We've got to be going, Gildy. I have a reservation for dinner.
You don't need a reservation at Joe's place.
We're not going to Joe's place. Come on, Leela, for heaven's sake, let's get started.
But we haven't settled this.
Oh, well, don't worry. I'll call you first thing in the morning about the plans and all. Good night, and I think you're alive.
What am I going to tell her when she calls?
Morning, Mr. Gilfleas.
Good morning, Bertie. Leroy?
Hi. I trust you slept well last night.
You can see that I didn't.
You do look a little so-so. Why don't you just sit down and I'll bring you a nice...
phone.
I'll get it.
Where's your sister, Leroy?
She ate her breakfast and squammed.
I'm coming!
You mean they've started for the football game already?
I suppose so. Lucky bums.
Mr. Gilfleas' residence.
I'm afraid I know what this is.
Oh, yes, Miss Ransom, he is. It's Miss Ransom, Mr. Gilfleas, about the game.
Huh?
Ask her if she could hold the wire a minute, Bertie.
He said, could you hold the wire a minute, please? He'll be right here.
Leroy, I want to have a talk with you, my boy.
Okay, shoot.
Swallow that toast and listen. My boy, if by any chance I should be able to get tickets for the game today. Mind you, I don't say I can, but if by any chance I should.
Yeah?
And if it turned out that it wouldn't be convenient for me to take you...
What? You promised!
I know, and I'd make it up to you, Leroy, some way. I don't like breaking promises, but if you'd let me off just this once, how about it?
I don't know.
Leroy, please, just this once.
I'd have to think it over.
I'll make it up to you, my boy. I'll do anything you say. How about it?
How you been, Miss Ransom? Oh, just fine. You'll be right here. Mr. Gilfleas, she's waiting.
Leroy, stop eating that toast and answer me. I'm sorry, my boy, but I told you I'll do anything if you let me off.
Well, it'd be a pretty good game. I'd sure like to see it.
Anything, Leroy. Anything at all.
Anything?
Anything.
Okay.
You'll never regret this, my boy. You'll never regret it. I only hope I won't.
Hello, Piggy. Leroy, the kid himself. Boy, oh boy, Piggy, have I got Unc where I want him. What a character. You know what he did? He told me what...
With a blonde on one arm, a buffalo robe over the other, and a brand new bucket hat perched on his head, Gildersleeve looks the complete American college boy, 20 years out of college. We join him now as he and Leela Ransom stroll past the State University campus toward the stadium where the big game is soon to begin.
Aren't we having fun, Throckmorton?
Yeah, you bet.
You know something? Walking around a college town like this makes me feel like I'm 18 again.
Oh, you look 18, Leela. And I'll tell you something else. I don't feel a day over 22. Let's skip, I dare you.
Oh, Throckmorton, with all these boys and girls going by.
What do we care? Come on, let's skip.
It's Marjorie
and Marshall Bullitt. You.
Well.
You up ahead there, Unky? Hello, Mrs. Ransom. You remember Marshall, don't you?
Indeed, I do. It's nice you could come home for the holiday, Marshall.
Thanks. How are you, Mrs. Ransom? Mr. Gildersleeve?
Just fine, my boy.
Unky, where did you get that bucket hat?
This hat? Well, I got it at the Summerfield Men's Toggery. What's the matter with it?
Oh, nothing. It just looks kind of collegiate.
That's not what the college men are wearing this year, Mr. Gildersleeve.
That's immaterial to me, son. I needed a hat in case of rain.
Well, I think he looks very cute in it. Although, if you pulled it a little farther forward...
Like this?
It was better the other way.
It's nuts.
Marshall, I do believe you've grown just in the few months you've been away.
Put on 15 pounds, been playing a little football.
Oh, speaking of football, shouldn't we be...
You seem to be in such a hurry, Throckmorton. Why don't we all go somewhere and have a bite to eat first?
Well, Marjorie and I are going over to the Beta Nu house for lunch. That's my father's fraternity.
Well, you kids go on and have lunch. Maybe we'll see you at the game.
Look for us, Unky. Marshall got seats right on the 50-yard line.
The 50? Well, we're not far from there.
See you later.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
I wish we didn't have to sit way down by the goal line, Throckmorton.
Well, I'll see what I can do. But it's pretty late. I wonder how that Bullard kid got seats on the 50.
I suppose he got them through his father.
Yeah, I suppose so. Well, bye, George. I'll go to the box office and tell him who I am. Don't worry, Leela. We'll wind up with the best seats in the place. Pardon me, madam. I'd like to exchange these seats, please. They're in the section 32. I'd like something on the 50-yard line. Yes, very funny. Perhaps you didn't understand me. I want to exchange these tickets for a pair on the 50-yard line.
Oh, run along, buddy. Nothing doing.
Wait a minute. It just so happens I'm a public official. I'm the water commissioner down in Summerfield.
Water? I hear it's good to wash in.
Don't get smart. Are you going to sell me tickets or not?
Look, we've been sold out since the 10th of September. Now beat it.
Then why are you open?
For next year.
Oh! Wise guy. Ought to report it. Why don't you look where you're going?
Hey, buddy, you really want two and a 50 like you said?
I sure do. Have you got two?
Shh. Not so loud.
Oh?
50-yard line, 35th row. And seeing it's so late, well, I'll let you have them for $20 apiece.
Why, that's robbery.
$20 apiece? Pardon me, mister. I thought you were a big shot.
Oh, I am. Here, give me the tickets. Being a big shot is kind of expensive.
Look, honey, the band down there on the stage. They're getting ready to spell out something.
Say, look at those uniforms. Welcome Aggies. Pretty clever.
Throckmorton, aren't we having fun?
You bet. Why don't the teams quit practicing? They've been practicing all season. Let's start the game.
Oh, let me see the program for a minute, Throckmorton.
Mm-hmm.
My, look at this picture of the state captain. Isn't he handsome?
Tom Lingenfelder. Certainly looks dumb.
Oh, but look at those shoulders. My.
Probably wearing shoulder pads. I'll tell you something else. A lot of these football players aren't as strong as they look. The Army had to reject the whole flock of them.
Mm-hmm. I suppose so. But of course, a girl looks at these things a little differently from the Army. There's Marshall.
Marshall where?
Down there, just two rows in front of us. You!
Hi there!
Oh, why that... He's got his arm around Marjorie. Hey there, what do you think you're doing?
Throckmorton.
Cut that out, young man. I'm watching you. And don't grin at me like that.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Throckmorton. What harm is there in the boy putting his arm around in a public place like this?
Don't tell me. It feels just the same in public as it does any place else.
Does it really?
You know darn well it does.
Mercy, how would I know?
There, how's that? Marjorie, turn around and watch the game. Third down. This time it looks like they're going to try a pass.
How can you tell, Throckmorton?
By the formation. When one fellow stands back like that...
Was that a pass?
No, it was a punt. They should have passed, though. If they keep punting all afternoon, I don't know how they expect to score.
Is it still nothing to nothing?
Certainly. There they go. Oh, an in run. Stopped him dead in his tracks. That fellow couldn't run around a mailbox.
Oh, what's that whistle call, Throckmorton?
Just stalling for time. Come on, quit stalling down there and play football.
Throckmorton, people are looking.
Let them look.
They're not stalling, mister. Al Spample broke his leg on that last play.
Oh.
Oh, isn't that awful? Look, they're carrying him off. The poor boy.
Stample must have been in bad condition. I told you these football players weren't so husky. Hey, you cold, Leela?
Perfectly comfortable, thank you.
Oh, that's funny. I'm cold.
Well, to tell you the truth, every time you start to hold my hand, Marshall Buller turns around and laughs at me.
Oh, he does, eh? That young smart aleck.
Now, Throckmorton, he's just a child. Although I must say he seems much better looking than when he went away. Don't you think he is?
I'm watching the game, Leela. Oh. 2nd and 10. Maybe they'll try a pass this time. Through the line.
How can you tell, Throckmorton? I couldn't see a thing on that play.
When everybody falls down, it's a line play. He gained about a foot.
Well, he tried anyhow, and that's what came.
Never make a touchdown that way, Leela. Now I suppose they'll kick again. There they go. Kick the ball back and forth. After you, my dear Alphonse. After you, my dear Gaston. Why, George, we don't get some action pretty soon, Leela. I'll go down and complain at the box office. All afternoon they've been playing, and nobody's even tried.
And once again, the ball changed hands in this nip-and-tuck battle between State University and the Aggies.
Oh, boy.
Believe you me, folks, both these teams are playing heads-up football out here this afternoon.
What a game.
They're lining up again now. State's ball on their own 40-yard line, T formation.
Come on, State, let's get a touchdown this time.
The ball is snapped to Captain Tom Lingenfelder. He gets the ball and...
Come on, Lingenfelder!
Lingenfelder fades back, takes a ladder to the left, plunges for the hole between right guard and right tackle. He's through. He's away. No. No, a beautiful tackle came right through and stopped him cold. I tell you, folks, you've never seen football like we're seeing today at Hartman's Field.
Did you hear that, Bertie? Lingenfelder almost got away, but they stopped him cold.
Is that a fact? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You want to listen a while, Bertie?
No, thank you, Leroy. You hear your uncle saying anything?
Not yet.
Now it's 4th and 6 for State, falling back into punt formation. Crowds in the stands are tense as Tom Lingenfelder opens his hands for the ball. He's got it. He kicks.
Back and forth, back and forth. Nothing happens.
Well, I think it's very exciting, Throckmorton, for a football game. What do you expect?
A pass once in a while. You gods have only tried about 3 and none completed. Hey, Lingenfelder, why don't you try an aerial attack?
Why don't you drop dead?
Oh? Who said that?
I said it.
Oh, you.
Yes, me. These boys are playing swell football, and they don't need any advice from you.
Just a suggestion. Tourist. I paid for my seat, didn't I? I should think that would entitle me to make it. Now what? Nothing. You know, Leela, looks like it might rain.
I don't think so, Throckmorton. How can you think such a thing when we're having so much fun?
I don't really think it'll rain. I don't think anything at all is going to happen here this afternoon.
Oh, Throckmorton, honey, I dropped one of my gloves just now. Do you see it anywhere?
Glove? No. Must be down under the seat.
Would you mind looking down there for it? My hands are cold.
Well, if your hands are cold...
Later, darling. But find the glove now for me like a sweet boy, won't you?
Oh, well. Old peanut shells down here. Chewing gum. See? Leela, what happened?
Come on,
Leela,
come on, come on, come on. Oh,
Leela, oh, jumping up and down on my finger.
Look, Mommy, you still down there?
Here's your glove. What was all that racket?
Somebody threw a pass and Lingenfelder caught it and made a touchdown.
A touchdown? Why didn't you tell me?
Well, I was too excited, Throckmorton, and it all happened so quickly.
The only play of the afternoon.
Oh, Uncle, wasn't that a beautiful
pass? Oh, yes, yeah, scrumptious.
Throckmorton.
What's the matter?
I felt a drop of rain just then.
Rain, you couldn't have. So did I. It's a cloudburst. What'll we do, Leela?
Maybe it'll stop in a minute. I'll stay if you will, Throckmorton.
Well, I... I had a slight cold yesterday, and I... Why don't we give up and go home?
I must say, I thought you were more of a sport.
Well, I'm not a sport. Come on, let's get out of here. Pardon me.
What's the matter, mister? No school spirit? Boo!
Oh, boo yourself! Soaking wet. Bucket hat. Bucket is right.
Evening, Miss Gilfleet. Did you have a nice time at the game?
Don't speak of it, Bertie. Don't speak of it.
Well, it's too bad it had to rain. Maybe a little supper will make you feel better.
I don't even feel like eating. I had a couple of sandwiches half an hour ago.
Well, I'll dish it up anyway.
Oh, is that you? What's the game, Super?
Super? What game are you talking about, young man?
The State Aggies game, the one you saw. I heard it on the radio. It sure was super.
How do they do it?
Say, Unc, I've decided what I want for a reward for missing it.
Oh, all right, my boy. What is it?
Take me to the state game next Saturday.
Oh, Leroy, anything but that. Peavy, are you fond of football?
Football, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Yes. Do you like the game?
You mean, do I like to play it?
No, no. Do you like to watch it? Are you a fan?
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, I'll tell you how it is about me and football. When I was a young fellow, I lived in Worcester, Massachusetts, one year. And that fall, I took it into my head to go to the Harvard Yale game down at Cambridge.
Is all this necessary?
Well, you asked me a question.
I didn't realize you'd have to answer by the way of Worcester, Massachusetts.
Well, if you don't want me to tell you...
No, go ahead, Peavy. You never give a straight answer to a question anyway.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Go ahead.
Well, I've lost the thread now. Why did you want to know if I liked football in the first place?
Well, I thought if you did, you might enjoy taking Leroy to the state game next Saturday if I could get the tickets.
Yeah, so that's it. Mr. Gildersleeve, I am fond of football, but I'm not that fond of it.
Yeah. I might have known you'd be of no use to me. Good night, Peavy. Good night, everybody.
This is John Lang speaking for the Kraft Foods Company and inviting you to listen in again next week for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
NBC's Great Gildersleeve on Tune 2 Yesterday from November 25th, 1945. I'm Mark LeVillier, bringing you sitcoms from radio's past in this hour of Tune 2 Yesterday. Coming up next, Life with Luigi, with the episode Going to California.
We invite you to enjoy Life. Life with Luigi, a new comedy show created by Cy Howard and starring that celebrated actor, Mr. J. Carroll Nash, with Alan Reed as Pasquale.
Dear Mamma Mia, remember how we were talking to the other country? How I was going to come to America and make $1 million in 5 years? Mamma mia, I think it's going to be the other way around. I'm not going to make $5 in $1 million a year. Is it not that my antique business is so bad, mamma mia? Is it because they got something in America that's called in the flesh? This means, with the prices so high, dollars so low, you can't buy the things you don't need with the money you ain't got. But important thing, mamma mia, I'm still got my good health. And like Uncle Pietro is always a say, a good stomach is worth $1 million. Mamma mia, you should see Pasquale's a fat Dolorosa. She's walking around with the United States Treasury. And the last few days, I'm got a lot of trouble with Pasquale. Always he's remind me how he's bring me to America just to marry Rosa. And always I'm remind him how he's forgot to tell me this when he's brought to me from Italy. Wait, mamma mia. Here comes Pasquale now, and I'm don't like that look on his face. Pasquale, my friend. Hello, Pasquale. Hello.
Hello.
Is it nice weather, huh, Pasquale?
Nice.
Pepper says it might rain, huh?
Might.
I say the winter is going to be cold, no?
All right. Stop the weather report. Give me the latest marriage report.
Please, no Rosa talking today, huh?
Why not? The Rosa's are ready, I'm ready, the preacher's are ready, 2 witnesses are ready. The only one who's holding up at the works is you.
Pasquale, I'm the one to hold you up. As long as you got all these people waiting, you go ahead without me.
Oh, stop. I don't want no excuses. Look, Luigi, how can you like this bachelor life with all the crazy running around, excitement, and the noise? I promise you, once you marry Rosa, you're going to rest in peace.
Pasquale, that's what I'm afraid. Maybe, Pasquale, if she wasn't so fat.
Too fat, fat. How can a man be so stupid? Luigi, I think you old enough to know the truth about American girls.
Huh? What the truth?
Everybody knows all American girls, they're fat.
Yeah, but they don't look fat, Pasquale.
On the outside, they look skinny, but underneath, they're all... They cheat. They press everything down with a corset and a girdle. But with my Rosa, everything you see, that's it.
Well, maybe you're right, Pasquale. But still, a marriage is impossible for me. I'm got no money, and even if I had the money, the way Rosa eats
now,
and eats...
Wait. I'm going to make you a proposition. For every pound Rosa gains after she marries you, I'm going to give you $20 of cash.
$20 a pound, huh?
That's more than England gives her for the pound. Well... What do you say, my son?
Pasquale, maybe I'm suffering now from inflation, but I'm not going to marry it.
Luigi, you shouldn't talk so fast. I just made you a big proposition. And you know what they say in America? When opportunity knocks on your head, open up your ears.
Pasquale, I'm still got to say no.
That's your final answer, huh?
Yes, Pasquale.
Final, last, absolute, the end answer, eh?
Yes.
Not even a teeny-weeny chance you might have changed your mind?
Not the one a teeny.
Luigi, is it going to go very bad for you, so you better act fast. I'm counting up to three. And if you don't say yes about a Rosa, I'm kicking you out of this antique shop for good.
No, Pasquale.
One.
Pasquale, please.
Two.
Listen, I'm...
Three.
Well, then I guess this is the end for me, Pasquale, because... Well, I'm going to get out.
Four.
Pasquale, you said you were going to count to three.
I'm keeping this illegal, Luigi. In America, I gotta count to 10 before you out. 5.
Pasquale, you can count to 100. I'm still not gonna change my mind.
Ooh, what a wise guy. Already you forgot about when you first come to America. Remember how excited you was when you first looked off the boat and you saw my Rosa waving an ice cream cone?
Yeah, and the reason I was so excited was because I thought that she was a Statue of Liberty.
And I remember when you first stepped off the boat, how you bent down and touched the ground and you said, Pasquale, I feel like Columbus. I'm a touching America.
Yes, sir.
Luigi, you think if I was abroad of Columbus to America that he would have said no to Rosa?
Pasquale, if a Columbus saw Rosa, he would have turned around and discovered South America.
Mr. Big Mouth, I think the time is here when we can only talk business. A hard business.
Hard business?
You owe me 2 months of rent and $26 of cash.
$16.
$16 and 10% interest makes it $26. Well, my palm is awaiting, Mr. Big Shots. What's the matter? You get a little pale around the ears, Mr. Pumpkinhead?
Well, Pasquale, you got to have the money now?
Yes, and now. N-O-U, now. Pay me my money or get out.
Out, Pasquale, you really mean it?
Out is only the beginning. You better move out of the state because I'm going to get a judgment and hound you till you pay, get married, or go to jail, Mr. Bosco. That's all right. To get out of town by tomorrow morning or the sheriff will be here with his pussy and throw you out. Go on.
Mamma mia, is it not the first time he's thrown me out, but looks like it's going to be the last. Well, at this time, I'm gone. Maybe out the west and make my fortune. I better go to my night school and say goodbye to my friends for the last time.
Quiet, please. I'll call the roll. Mr. Bosco?
Here.
Mr. Horowitz.
Here.
Mr. Olson.
Hey,
yes. Mr. Schultz.
Let's stop everybody off. Just smile, everybody. Be happy.
All right, Mr. Schultz. We're all smiling. Now, you may answer the first question.
Miss Spaulding, keep me smiling. Call on Olson first.
Never mind. We're studying verbs today. Mr. Schultz, we'll give you an easy one. Give us a sentence with a verb.
All right. I had lumbago when I came to Chicago.
Mr. Schultz, that word is pronounced lumbago.
Oh, they changed it recently?
We never changed it. It's always been pronounced lumbago, according to Webster.
All right, but I think Webster's making it a big mistake.
Now, let's hear your sentence again, Mr. Schultz. Only pronounce the words correctly.
All right. I had lumbago when I came to Chicago.
You know very well that the A in Chicago has a soft sound.
Not near the elevated where I live. Stop of a lullabalow them.
Miss Spaulding, don't you think we have had enough tomfoolery? May I give the correct answer so that we may proceed?
Olson, why can't you be like us? Stupid and lovable. Miss Spaulding, I would like to try with an answer.
Well, let's try Mr. Baskerville. He looks so quiet today.
Huh? You talking to me, Miss Spaulding?
Yes. You may give us a sentence with a verb.
All right. Tomorrow, I'm leaving the city.
Very good.
Why, you happy to see me going away, Miss Spaulding?
Oh, don't be silly. Now, tell us the verb in your sentence, Mr. Basco. Which word shows the action?
Pasquale.
Pasquale? Mr. Basco, what has that word got to do with your sentence?
Because if he's going to chess me out, then I'm going to have to leave the city.
Luigi, you must be joking.
He don't look like it, Olson. Why is Pasquale chasing you out this time, Luigi?
No, why, he asked. It's on account of Luigi that Rosa is still a bachelor. My Luigi, this ain't the first time Pasquale chased you out. He really don't mean it.
No, sure, so he's a minute this time and for good. He's getting a judgment against me and I'm going to get out of the state. Luigi, you can't. We won't let you. No, 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 please, friends, don't try to stop me. I'm never going to give a Pasquale the chance to hurt me no more. So tomorrow I'm going away, far away. You have any money, Luigi? I've got some.
Luigi, I have some money Olga doesn't know about.
And I got a few dollars put away for my Esther.
Yeah, and me too. I'll bet with the money we hide from our wives and the money they hide from us, we could wipe out the national debt. Luigi, look, about the money, you shouldn't worry.
No, sure, sir. Friends, I'm don't need the money. But thanks all the same, and I'm going to write to you letters.
Where will you go, Luigi?
I'm not sure yet. Maybe to California.
You can't just walk around the streets. Look, we got a room in my house. I'll put up a cot bed. No, no, Olga and I live alone. We have oodles of room.
Yeah, and you got my house, Luigi. But between the three of us, we got enough bedrooms to put the YMCA out of business. What do you say, little Wiener Schnitzel?
Friends, you all so nice. And a goodbye. Goodbye, Miss Spaulding and the friends. I'm going to write to you. He's gone.
Yes, I believe he means it.
Yingity, we are going to miss him.
But quick, Miss Spaulding, call on me. I want to commit educational suicide. Luigi! Are you here, Luigi?
Jingini, the store is empty.
7 o'clock in the morning and we're too late. Look, he's left.
Yeah, and we never thought he would. I feel like I lost a brother.
Sure, he was a good man. Real fine and a true gentleman to boot.
He was a friend. Stop saying he was. He ain't was till he had been where he's not going, which we ain't sure of. And... Oh, Himmel, am I for shimmeled. Anyway, he's gone.
Well, maybe not. Let's look in the closet for a suitcase.
A good idea. No, what suitcases? Luigi never owned a suitcase.
The only thing he ever had was that canvas bag with the one handle torn and hanging down like a bad ear on a cooker spaniel.
Look at the way he cleaned up the shop before he left. Everything in place, not one speck of dust.
Sure, that Pasquale is a big, unmitigated 14-carat yerk.
That's right. That's his fault. Why, if that big blubber belly ever talks to me again, I'll tear him like a herring.
Go ahead, Mr. Delicatessen, man. The herring is awaiting.
Pasquale, where did you come from?
I'm waiting, Schultz.
My humblest apologies, Pasquale. It was a mistake to call you a herring.
That's better.
Yeah, a herring does the things it does because it's pickled. But what's your excuse?
Schultz, you better watch what you say. You're liable to wind up in a catastrophe.
First of all, we ain't got time to argue with you. We want to know, where's Luigi?
Yo-ho, did he leave some address?
Anything.
Look, I don't know where that pupsqueak went, but as far as I'm concerned, he can leave with the country and live in a New Mexico.
Pasquale, how could you chase him out like that? After all, you brought him to America. You were like a father to him.
Even more than a father, a mother. Even more than a mother, a monster.
Gentlemen, there's no use fighting. We came here to find out where Luigi moved to.
I wonder where he is now. What he's doing. Maybe we should look for him.
Luigi! Mister, are you the Bob Lipton who's a put advertisement in the paper about you wanting somebody should share automobile ride with you to California?
Yep, that's me. I leave at 3 this afternoon. That okay with you?
Yes, okay, Mr. Lipton. You got a good car?
A fine car. It's a Willys.
It's a Willys?
Sure.
If it's a Willys, how come you got it?
Hey, you got a sense of humor, friend. Boy, the miles just fly by when you got nice, friendly company. Now, about the road expenses, we go halvies on the gas and oil, okay?
Oh, sure. I'm always the one to pay my half. You pay for the gas, I'm a pay for the oil.
No, you pay for the gas and I'll pay for the oil.
All right. If you want to spend more money, that's making me happy. I'm not going to afford the train or the bus, so I'm glad to meet you.
Well, that's good. What's your name?
Luigi Basca. And you call me Luigi.
Okay, friend, my name is Bob Lipton. You can call me Bob.
Thank you, Mr. Lipton.
Yeah.
This car you got is not too old, huh?
Well, I'll be frank, friend. It's a 34.
34, huh? Hey, it must be a good car. It was a wonderful year for the wines.
Oh, no. Okay. Let's have a look at this road map right here now. Here, friend, now we got a choice of two routes. You see, the northern and the southern.
Uh-huh.
Which do you like best?
Oh, please, you take a first pick.
Well, this northern route here is very nice. You take this Highway 30 here through Cedar Rapids, Iowa. We go through Omaha, cut into Cheyenne, up through the Rocky Mountains, turn here into Salt Lake City, then south to 6. Through Nevada, Death Valley, on to 58, cutting on Barstow on 66, then San Bernardino, Pasadena, and L.A.
Mamma mia, you never stopped once for lunch.
Don't worry now, there'll be plenty of stops. But look, now I'm agreeable. If you don't like the northern route, we can take the southern. Well, friend, what do you say?
What
the?
Huh?
Hey, you look like you're dreaming or something. What's the matter, kid? You're running away to forget some babe, huh?
Oh, no, I'm not got to the babies.
No. I mean a doll, a dame, a skirt.
Doll, a dame, a skirt?
Yeah.
Mamma mia, I'm a stop school only yesterday, and already I don't understand the English language. Please, you show me this southern route, huh?
Southern route? You're a sure thing. Now, here's southern route right here. We leave Chicago here on 66,
yeah.
Go through Springfield, down to St. Louis, then to the Ozark Mountains.
Ozark Mountains?
Mm-hmm.
Is it these are high mountains?
And how they're high. I got a friend almost got killed there once. Now, don't you worry, friend. These brakes of mine were realigned only 12 years ago.
Oh, that's a good.
Well, it let's see here. Next, we hit Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I'm going to read a big windstorm that was ahead of there once.
Oklahoma? Sure, that's real tornado country. Uh-huh. Those things knock down trees, carry off rooftops, and pick a car right off the ground like it was a matchbox.
Maybe you know some other way to California?
You're joking.
I'm not.
Look, you worry too much. Now, let's see here. We hit Amarillo, Texas here. That's nice, wide-open prairie country. We can do 80 miles an hour on those roads.
80 miles an hour?
Why, sure, my old buggy can do 90.
Yeah, but supposing the tires suddenly break up, but then what?
Then we turn over, that's all. Look, friends, you only live once.
Not if the car is a turn off. Please, Baba, don't drive so fast because I'm...
Okay, just leave the driving to old Bob. Now, let's see. Out of Amarillo, we go down route on 60 here, hit through New Mexico. Then we're up into the mountains again. We go up about 5,000 feet.
Please, come down, Bob. I'm getting dizzy.
Now, relax. Relax, friend. Those narrow mountain roads are a cinch. Why, I can make a turn at 50 miles an hour on one wheel with my eyes closed.
And when you open them up, I'm not going to be there.
Don't you let it worry you, friend. I never yet got a ticket in my life.
Oh, that's a good... How long have you been driving?
3 weeks.
Mamma mia. When are we going? If we ever get down across the mountains, where do we go?
Well, we're going to go right down here to Arizona.
Is it nice at all in Arizona, huh?
Oh, they're okay, till we hit the Apache Mountains.
Mamma mia, maybe I'm better take a boat. Hey, Papa, these Apache Mountains... They're not so high like the Rockies, huh?
Tricky, friend. Just tricky.
Tricky, huh?
We just gotta watch out for the fallen rocks. And since it's only a two-lane road, we drive over near the edge of the cliff all the way.
Yeah, but here do you keep your eyes open, huh?
Are you kidding? If I let go of that wheel for 1 second, we're both up the creek.
Yeah, but now we're in California, huh?
Oh, no, not yet, friend. Just keep your shirt on.
I'm too frightened to take it off.
Oh, I love you, friend. You're a great kidder. And now, where was I?
Up at the creek.
Oh, here we are. Here, we get off the Apache Trail, hit into Phoenix, Arizona. That's nice, wide-open desert country. Hundreds of miles of fast driving over the sand.
Yeah, but is it safer, huh?
Oh, sure. We take along plenty of water just in case the car overheats and we get stuck.
Oh, sure.
Now, don't tell me you're afraid of those desert sandstorms or those coyotes or rattlesnakes.
Rattlesnakes, sir. Hey, Bobby, you mean they got a lot of snakes in this desert?
Now, will you stop worrying? Whenever I go through the desert, I take along plenty of anti-snake serum for snake bites.
Yeah, but supposing the snake don't want to take it as a serum before he's a bite to you.
Yeah, will you stop worrying? Now, look, we go on from this point. We continue.
Look, you three, I don't have to stand here and take no more insults.
Sing, Pasquale, where would Luigi go, please?
I don't care.
Did he have any money at all?
That's none of my business, and now stop bothering me. You get me all the flabbergasted.
Charles, do you think Luigi would do something foolish?
Sure, Luigi is very impetuous. Perhaps we should call the city hospital.
Pasquale, you better pray. If anything bad happens to Luigi, we'll take you to court and see that you get the electric chair for 3 years.
Joe, calm down. Calm down. We shouldn't think the voice.
Yeah, but how can I help worrying? This big ham hock here has got a heart of stone. Nothing bothers him.
All right, so I got a heart of stone, so I don't care for that ungrateful little boob. But like I said it before, it's my business.
Hey, Mr. Pasquale. Uh-huh. Got a lead on that Basco.
Shh, my friend, not here.
Oh, I don't get it. You hire us to get information on Basco right away, now you don't want it.
Just look, Murphy, come out of my stall.
Now, wait a minute. Did Pasquale hire you to find Luigi?
For $75 a day, he hired himself a private eye, but I don't know what for.
Look, Murphy, I don't want... You don't want we should know, huh? So you don't care for Luigi, huh, Pasquale?
Oh, get out, all of you.
We misjudged you, Pasquale.
I'm walking around hating myself, wishing I was dead, and Schultz, he says I got a heart of stone, a hammock. I'm sorry, Pasquale.
$25 a day.
Jiminy, you could die a bloodhound for that.
Can I talk now, Mr. Pasquale?
Yeah, please.
Wait a minute. I don't quite know yet, but the trail's getting warm. Uh-huh. I traced his movements to his tailor. He paid off a buck he owed on a cleaning job. Then he went to the barber and took a close haircut.
Luigi with a close haircut? Oh, Schultz, he's a giant in the Marines.
Let me finish, will you? Then he said goodbye to a Mr. Ostro, a Mrs. Pellegrino, Tony the newsboy, and then...
Then what?
The newsboy said he took the sea car going north at about 5:18 p.m. That got us to the bus stop.
He took the bus?
No, we traced him to the railroad station.
How do you like that pupsqueak? I'm spending $75 a day, and he's a traveler in the first class.
No, he didn't take the train. Oh. From there on, we lost him.
Well, look, Mr. Detective, please, don't stop looking. And every penny I got it in my pocket to Pasquale, $75, huh? Yeah, here. That makes $76, yeah. But go out now and find him, huh?
That's all right. The staying around here ain't going to help us.
Hello, friends.
Hey,
Luigi, how are you? Oh, friends, it's a good to see you all again. And Pasquale, you're crying.
Luigi, next the time you let me run you away from home, I'm never going to talk to you again.
Luigi, where did you go?
Who brought you home?
What happened, Luigi? Pasquale, you know how you always tell me I should stay in my own little backyard?
Yes, little cabbage puss.
Since I've found out America's got a mountain of cyclones, a desert, and a rattlesnakes, I'm never going to more west than a Western Avenue.
Good for welcome home, my son.
Hello, Papa.
Come to you through the facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.
Life with Luigi on Tune 2 Yesterday, a broadcast first heard on January 9th, 1953. That wraps this hour of the radio sitcom on Tune 2 Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. It's been a pleasure.